May what I say and what you hear be useful and after the mind of Christ. While we are celebrating tonight in peace and comfort and joy, unmanned drones are circling in the skies above Syria, northern Iraq and Afghanistan, seeking targets of opportunity. Working in tandem with them are close support fighter bombers, ready to bring down the full weight of tactical air support to assist those advancing against ISIS. Soaring far above us are satellites photographing and recording anything of interest to military planners and strategists. Why bring all of this up after what we've just listened to, that charming, idyllic nighttime scene set in the countryside around Jerusalem? Peace and joy are the angels' theme song. We know this tableau well. It's the stuff of children's pageants rather than the dark troubles of the adult world. We've been looking at angels for so long on the front of Christmas cards that they have been classified in our minds under the heading of gentle creatures. Is this the way the contemporaries of Jesus saw them? Consider this: the angel Gabriel, who appeared to Mary to begin the Christmas story, had a name that bears thinking about. The name Gabriel means, "God is my hero warrior." Just a generation or two before Jesus, when the Maccabees launched their armed rebellion against the occupying Greeks, heavenly armies had been seen in the skies in a kind of parallel act of resistance. When in AD 70, a generation after Jesus, the ill-fated, all-out great rebellion against the Romans got underway, such widespread popular visions were seen again. Here is the historian Josephus writing in his Wars of the Jews. Before sunset, throughout all parts of the country, chariots were seen in the air and armed battalions hurtling through the air and encompassing cities. Just in case we think that angels as warriors are a phenomenon confined to the ancient world, we might recall that some claim to have seen an angel hovering over the British Expeditionary Force during the Battle of Mons in 1914 at the start of the Great War. So when it talks about the heavenly host hovering over the shepherds in the open fields, it is difficult to avoid the connotations of the battalions of angels who fought for Israel against the enemy forces. But why would they need to do that? Isn't this a happy story with praising shepherds, adoring animals, and a beautiful baby? Why would you need heavenly resistance motifs with all this peace and joy around? Because the world into which Jesus was born was one of desperation, oppression, and hard times. Many of the people Jesus grew up with were being squeezed by a combination of tolls, taxes, and tithes to the temple, the local ruler, and the Romans. Small-time farming folk in danger of losing their land were as passionately interested in lower taxation as Bill English is today. And King Herod was a nasty piece of work. He had his favourite wife murdered and their two children. The child of another marriage was also assassinated. Any hint of ambitions to his position meant death. Maybe the biblical critics are right when they cast doubt on whether the massacre of innocents ever took place. But Herod was fully capable of doing it if it suited his purposes. The world of the Gospels is peopled by beggars, brigands, madmen, the possessed, the anxious, and the incurably ill. Brutal soldiers, greedy merchants, hardened prostitutes, hard-hearted tax farmers, and exploited casual labourers. These are the people whom Jesus would rub shoulders with and offer hope to. They were grumpy and downtrodden. God help us was often their despairing cry. That is why angels are massing in battle array over Jerusalem tonight. Liberation is afoot, and help is on the way, though not on the way that anyone was expecting, and not through armed rebellion. The liberation that the angels are a part of operates at several levels. Take, for instance, the striking image from chapter 3 of the book Genesis. After Adam and Eve have been expelled from the Garden of Eden, Genesis notes that an angel, a cherubim, is placed at the east of the garden with, quote, a sword flaming and turning to guard the way to the tree of life. There's a lovely text from one of Bach's cantatas that takes this image and then says that as Jesus is born into our world, the gate to the beauties of paradise is opened again, and the angel no longer stands before it to guard the way in. So the arrival of Jesus in our world is the signal for this fearsome warrior angel to march off and march away from his sentinel duties that blocks the entrance to paradise. The way Luke tells it, the main task the angels carry out in the Christmas story is to announce a birth. What we are celebrating tonight is the spiritual rebirth offered to the human race through Jesus, God's beloved Son. The spiritual regeneration of human beings through a developing union with God. That is at the centre of what we are on about in the Christian faith. But that spiritual growth usually encourages and fans into flame a human hope rooted in the specific details of people's lives. That hope must be rediscovered in every generation. God has an eagle eye for that which oppresses and diminishes in every human situation, and so should we. The angels hovering overhead tonight in the Christmas story are there to remind us that as our relationship with the hidden ground of love that we call God deepens, our attention will be drawn to personal and practical matters close at hand that need to be attended to. There are questions that we can dwell on as we leave tonight's service. In what areas of our lives do we need liberation, particularly from self-imposed areas of loss of freedom? Who are our personal equivalents of the cruel rulers and devouring tax farmers who diminish our life and health and peace? Where would I appreciate the help of armies of angels as I struggle against the principalities and powers that weigh me down? As we go out into the night, into a world still short on the peace and joy we would want for those whom we love, may the Archangel Gabriel, the Archangel Michael, and the great throng of the heavenly host go with us, so that with strong help from above, we may know days of gladness. Spoken in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.